today is Catherine Hamilton Smith, Director of Cultural Resources for the Lake County Forest Preserve District. As the director, Catherine manages the Lake County Discovery Museum, the Adlai Stevenson Historic Home, the Greenbelt Center, and many other sites. She is a past recipient of the Curator of the Year Award for the State of Illinois. And Catherine, it's been almost 2 years since you've been on Word of Mouth. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim.
Thanks so much for being here. Really, really appreciate it. And there's a lot to discuss, and I guess the first thing I want to get to and spend a little time on is the Lake County Museum. And I had the opportunity to see the current exhibit, The President's Photographer, 50 Years Inside the Oval Office, which is put together by the National Geographic Society, but is at the museum in Wakanda. Amazing exhibit, runs through January 11th. And, you know, so many iconic photos, and I'm just going to name a couple, and then we can talk about it. LBJ being sworn in as president aboard Air Force One with a stunned Jackie Kennedy in the background. Betty Ford merrily dancing on the conference table of the cabinet. So the juxtaposition of those kinds of photos. And then Obama looking at himself in the mirror a minute before walking into history at the inauguration. And you are right there seeing every moment of these presidents' lives in that exhibit. And I can go on and on, and probably will. What are some of your favorite exhibits, the ones that you find fascinating in this new exhibition that's at the Wakanda, the museum in Wakanda?
Favorite photographs. Yeah, Jim, there's just, visitors have remarked, and you've seen it. You were at the exhibition. I was, you know, obviously I've seen it a couple of times, of how they remember these images. The exhibition begins in 1962, actually, but with a President Kennedy's administration. Kennedy was the first president to have a photographer assigned to document his presidency. And that's why this exhibition begins in 62 with the Kennedy administration and goes right up to the current day with the really unprecedented coverage of Barack Obama. We can talk about that in a little bit, but in between 1962 and 2014, visitors will see some of these images that are absolutely ingrained in our cultural memory. And the one that you, really the one that you pointed out is the one that's the most poignant, which is the swearing in of Lyndon Johnson on Air Force One as he's traveling to Washington, D.C., right after Kennedy has been declared deceased. And that image is that image is paired, actually, with a photograph taken the day before in Fort Worth, Texas, of Kennedy in a sea, an absolute sea of people. You see Kennedy's head sort of in his head and shoulders in the lower right-hand corner of that picture, and there's and he's reaching out to just touch the fingertips of one of these adoring people. And it gives you a poignant idea of what his life, what the life of the president is. It's close encounters with a sea of people, and yet the following day, you know, 24 hours later, we head in and he's gone off of the face of the earth. And so these two photographs are together on a wall. Just to dwell on that just a tiny bit more, is my youngest son is 12, and I had he and a friend of his, also a middle schooler, seventh grader, were visiting the exhibition a couple of months ago right after it opened, and I stood them in front of these two pictures, and of course, by seventh grade, they do know about Kennedy and the assassination and know enough about American history to understand generally what occurred, but I talked to them a little bit about the presidency and how these images capture that. The one of LBJ being sworn in is particularly poignant also because if you think about it, it's taking place on an airplane that's throttling through the air, headed toward Washington, D.C., but I'm sure your listeners can conjure that image up in their mind of Jackie Kennedy just stunned and looking, standing beside LBJ. LBJ has his hand on the Bible, and they're throttling through the air, and yet everyone is absolutely still. And then if you think what everybody is thinking in their heads, everybody has a million thoughts and everybody. So it's sort of a still and fast picture at the same time. That's the kind of image you'll encounter in this exhibition.
And she was numb, just as the country was numb. And, yeah, every picture, and by the way, those are the iconic ones we're talking about. There's the intimate, you know, where we're kind of able to get revealed what's behind the doors. And I'm thinking of George W. Bush, just so human. And I think it's a Saturday morning. He's in bed with in his pajamas with his grandkids, just kind of, you know.
And Mrs. Bush.
Yeah, Mrs. Bush.
Bush is there.
Yeah, Mrs. Bush is there. And they're all just kind of just, you know, rolling around. And it's just, you know, Norman Rockwell, but also, you know, a lot of people's families that on a Saturday morning where the kids are coming in. I mean, there's just so many interesting pictures of it. And, you know, it's hard not to, like you said, to look at a picture and not have, like, a lot of things going through your mind, whether it's opinions or emotions or whatever is absolutely driving you. What are some other ones? Oh, go ahead.
Well, I think that's true. I think visitors will, going back to the Kennedy picture, for instance, that in my childhood, that the what happened a few days later in the funeral procession in Washington with the cortege, and I remember as a little girl watching it on a black and white television set, I can picture everything about that moment in my head. You know, the set, where it was positioned in our family's living room, that the boots were backwards in the saddle of the horse somehow, you know, hit me as a little girl. So I think you're absolutely right that the visitors will bring their own memories to these images, and really that's what it's all about. That's what exhibitions are all about in museums, is to provide for the public a point of connection, and then the public themselves bring their own connections to the exhibition, their own thoughts. And one of the really dynamic and good things about museum exhibitions is that they do make a stop and think.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That they do make a stop and think. Even if you spend an hour and a half, come out to the museum, don't see any of the other exhibitions we have, but just see that one, you'll be pausing in the middle of this holiday rush to just be spurred to think. And it doesn't even matter what it is you're thinking. You know, you don't have to bring anything to the table. You just have to open yourself to the opportunity.
And you go back in time if you were around during that period. But if you don't, you still, like you said, your 12-year-old
son. My son's 12,
yeah,
right.
And was able to have a visceral emotion about it. And it's one photo I just got to, you know, there's so many neat ones we could talk about.
You sound like you enjoyed it.
Oh, I really liked it. the ones that were really maybe more intimate or just kind of familiar, not where they're in the Oval Office, kind of away from the Oval Office. And one of my favorites, and then I found out later, one of Obama's favorites is where he's blocking the shot. He's playing basketball, and he's in his gym clothes, you know, great T-shirt, et cetera. And he blocks the shot of Reggie Love, who apparently is on his staff, who is a NCAA college star. And, you know, it's just such a guy thing, I guess. There's something about it that was just, that's pretty cool, you know, regardless of what his politics are. And they humanize, in a way, the politics kind of, it's not so much about politics because it humanizes each individual person who's there.
And not only that, I think you've really hit a good point there, that this is an apolitical exhibition. We have every president from JFK to Obama, so there's Republicans and there's Democrats. And you don't, I have to say that you don't go in the exhibition feeling, well, you may go into it feeling one way or the other, you might have your political persuasion, but that's not what the exhibition brings to the table. The exhibition brings to the table both the crazy cacophony of life as the American president on the public side, and then the sort of intermediate place where the president is working with in critical situations with their staff, for instance, with Bush during 9/11.
Oh my goodness! Yeah,
and then also on the private side. So you're seeing this layered look at this one human being that is such a central point of critical activity, and yet they're also living their life.
And they're living their life, yeah,
and
exactly.
And so you see all of those things. And when you go through the exhibition, you see these different layers of activity of all of the presidents. You don't come away feeling political about anything. You just sort of come away being being your thoughts are sort of elevated about what the American presidency means and what it means to these few men in this case who have been president so far.
And that's perfectly put. If anything, you walk away apolitical.
You do.
Than political. I had feelings for whatever candidate, or I should say president, that was there. And you just are pretty much just right down the middle. You're just like, geez, these people are so human. Mm-hmm. And then you see the pressures that they're under with all these. You know, we should probably talk a little bit about the president's photographer themselves, because really the name of the exhibit is The President's Photographer. So you learn a little bit about the different photographers and the grind that they go through. Interesting fact that I read when I was there, Pete Sousa, I think, is the photographer for Obama.
He's a current photographer Obama. And then interestingly about him, just as a quick aside, that he also worked as a White House photographer under Reagan. So he goes back to that apoliticalness. The photographer is just recording or chronicling the American presidency. Pete Sousa is the current one.
But the grind, 80,000 photos per month, that just blew me away. I couldn't believe that.
You know, that's what he estimates, that he takes about 20, he and his staff, there are others, but
yes,
he takes
yes.
about 20,000 frames a week.
Yes.
Now, that is certainly not the case with Kennedy. I mean, it was a different time entirely. And I think it gets into a whole bigger, a much bigger cultural discussion, actually, about how much we as a society document ourselves just in general.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, this morning I was at my son's middle school watching the holiday 7th grade line dancing. So of course I took a video, and then I texted it to his brother who's away at college and to his dad and to a few other people. Well, that's pretty recent development, this ability to chronicle everything that we do. So no less the case with chronicling the American presidency, that we do it at a very dense level. It's not that all of those frames are saved, but we won't see all of them. Don't worry. There is a Twitter
feed. We will see quite a few, though, if you go to their, I guess, ultimately, their archival. And
that's right.
The idea is that they'll be in the presidential library for Obama, whether it's in Hawaii or Chicago. That's a whole other topic.
We can't talk about that.
Yeah, but we'll be able to see at least a good portion of those photos. But you're right, we're not going to be able to see, I can't even imagine, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of photos.
No,
yeah.
And that's called
Thankfully.
Editing.
Thankfully.
Someone is going to edit them down to just those
right.
key, but
right.
they'll still be there. And that kind of goes to the question that I've been asked while this exhibition is out there is why are we even doing this? I don't know if that's...
Yeah, go ahead.
Like
go ahead. Answer your own question, yeah.
That, the question has been asked to me more than once since the exhibition opened in September is why is there a photographer assigned to mm-hmm. to the American presidency? And really the answer to that goes all the way... That question's been asked since Roman times, when the question in Roman times was asked, why do we need people who chronicle the events of the day? And I think it's really well described by the legendary photographer Edward Steichen, who was speaking to LBJ. I guess LBJ or Lyndon Johnson was asking that very question. Why do I need someone to follow me around and take pictures all the time of what I'm doing? Edward Steichen, the legendary photographer, countered that question with, well, just think what it would mean if we had that same chronicling or coverage of Abraham Lincoln's presidency today, which
mm-hmm.
we do not.
Mm-hmm.
You never know when something momentous is going to happen, and 9/11 is a perfect example of that. We all know that President Bush was reading a story in a grade school setting, in a classroom, in a school, and the presidential photographer was there because the presidential photographer is always there. And some of the images that are, we talk about being stunned, that was another moment in history when everything stopped and no one knew what was happening and everybody was stunned. And the presidential photographer was there to record that moment.
There's a marvelous picture that's at the exhibit, photo, where Bush is writing notes. This is after he's read the story. which I don't think many people have seen this picture. And he's just writing notes. And you can see just, you know, the stress level that's going on in his, the furrow in his brow and stuff. And then somehow the photographer was able to angle it so that in the back there's this, you know, old-fashioned kind of TV monitor was tuned in that you see in classrooms. That was tuned in to the event itself.
Yeah.
And you see the two towers. Yeah, burning. And, my gosh, it just shakes you up when you see that.
That's a perfect way to say it. It just shakes you up.
Yeah.
It just shakes you up. It makes you, takes you back mm-hmm. to that moment. And we were all shaken up. The world was shaken up. But that's another moment. Talk about my going back to my childhood memory of watching the funeral cortege after Kennedy's assassination. You also, I'm sure all of your listeners and you and I remember exactly where you were when 9/11
mm-hmm.
happened. It was like a Pearl Harbor. You just remember exactly where you were. And I can remember what I was wearing. I can remember what I was thinking. I can remember so much about it because you didn't.
Right.
You're just stunned and everything stops.
And the photos make you go back in time.
And there is, as long as you bring that up, too, it's a good moment to let listeners know that in the exhibition itself, you'll be able to watch the entire 53-minute PBS documentary that accompanies the exhibition and the compilation that the photographer Pete Souza has made of all of the presidential photographers.
That's a must-see. And that kind of gets back to my question before about being able to see a behind-the-scenes of the grind of being a presidential photographer. I mean, you basically had Pete following the president and the documentarian following Pete. So you get to see this rush world of what he is. Actually, it's a hurry up and wait, and no life at all, from what I could tell. I mean, there's no outside life. It's just constant on the go, and you know, 24/7 pretty much. You know?
Yeah, it seems like it. You're on call 24/7. Evidently, you can't possibly. I mean, when the president's asleep, I guess you must get to sleep too. But yeah, it's a. What the photographers have said, especially in the more recent couple of administrations where they really have been assigned to this nonstop coverage, which began, by the way, in the Johnson administration.
Mm-hmm.
And it links to what happened with the assassination of Kennedy and that the presidential photographer actually, who was assigned to Kennedy, Cecil Stoughton, was assigned to Kennedy. And in the exhibition, he will, and in the book that accompanies it, he will say he's assigned to Kennedy. He's the presidential photographer for Kennedy, but he gets the word that Kennedy has passed away. And he's almost simultaneously, he gets the information that Johnson is headed to the airport. He was in in Texas as well, and he's headed to Washington. And Cecil Stoughton changes his entire flow and heads to the airport, and he was on the plane because he knew he would be sworn in on the plane on the way to Washington. So he becomes the presidential photographer. He's still following the American presidency, mm-hmm. in other words.
Yes, yeah. That's an interesting phenomenon, though. I mean, what was going through his head at that time? He had to do a job.
He had to make a decision.
Yes, exactly.
Where am I supposed to go? The president is dead.
Right.
I guess I follow the president.
Right.
The president's a different person.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, to be so close. And it's not only a grind. I guess the photographers have to be, they're present all the time, very, very trusted by the presidents themselves. And they are, talk about apolitical, they are absolutely, they hear things and they see things at the highest level. And yet they have to be trusted by the president and the president's staff to just be the fly on the wall and not to take any of that information out of the settings in which that photographer might find themselves.
Obama put it this way. He said, they have to be there all the time, but they also have to be invisible.
Yeah.
And that's what they are. They're invisible, but yet they're there. They become real friends of the family, too. I mean, a lot of these photographers end up being good buddies. I mean,
probably.
Both Bushes said that they would hang out together even after his presidency. They kept in touch, you know. I mean, it's considered themselves very, well, think about all the time you're spending
with that person. Sure, if your personalities jive, then you'd become close to that person. Because in the exhibition and in the accompanied book, there are a lot of
and
images
the video,
of the families and the PBS documentary also. There's a great image of President Obama hugging, I think it's Malia. I think Malia is the younger of the two daughters in the elevator that takes him up to the private residence mm-hmm. from his offices. And he's just kind of holding her in this very sweet way, very unstaged.
Mm-hmm.
There's another one, a famous one that many people will recognize mentally in their head of Kennedy in the Oval Office when John and Caroline come in and they're little, John's just a little toddler and Caroline's kind of a preschooler and they're dancing around and Kennedy's sitting in the chair and kind of clapping his hands, and that's a real moment too, and a kind of an iconic American image.
You know, there's a quotation there that's in the exhibit that I'd like to read, which I thought was kind of interesting, and this is from David Hume Kennedy. He was the photographer for President Ford. Now, I guess they developed a very close relationship, mm-hmm. Became friends afterwards, as I learned in the video. And here it is, quote, "Photographers are not hired for their opinions. They are hired for their photos." It's an interesting quote. What's your take on that?
Well, most of the photographers have, the presidential photographers have been photographers for some time. Their assignment during that administration is to follow the president, but most of them are documentary photographers or journalists or photojournalists. And so I think they would be used to, you know, I'm not a photographer myself, but it would be all about the image. Even if you're a sports photographer, let's say the Bears go to the Super Bowl again this year. Come on. Could happen.
No, statistically, they're out.
But,
yeah.
Yes,
mathematically,
it can happen.
Yeah.
If only you had interviewed me a couple of weeks ago, we might still be in the mix. But the sports photographers who follow teams, let's say they're following the Blackhawks, this year and last year, a more successful team, they're thinking totally about capturing that image. And I think the presidential photographer would be no different from that. They're absolutely silent. You know, they're not staging anything.
Right.
It's a form of still documentary photography. None of these images are staged. I think that's important
for
the visitors to know that
absolutely
he's capturing the moment, whatever the moment is.
Right.
Whether it's with the family, whether it's in some tight negotiation in some sort of very sensitive moment or in a public moment, they're just thinking about the image.
There's a bit of a paradox with that quote, though, because when I looked at every photo, I had an opinion. Unlike the photographer who took it. I mean, you cannot help but have an opinion. I mean, some sort of observation or thought or something's going on in your brain when you're seeing it, and which is a good thing. And I don't mean a political opinion, but you have some sort of...
you're bringing something to the table.
You're bringing something to the table, exactly. So,
photographers, documentary photographers, anyone who is creating an image, it's a form of art. And they come... Photographers and I do. I'm not a photographer myself at all, but
but your
work
art
in
history.
Art history. That's
right.
My whole background is in the understanding and interpretation of image, what it says of the culture that produced it, or the person that produced it, or both. And photography, still photography, is a form of capturing, creating an image, and so that's what these men did in candid settings, never staged. They're not portraits at all. The visitor, if you come to the museum, will not encounter a portrait.
Exactly.
There isn't one.
Or anything staged.
Or anything staged at all.
Right.
This is just those photographers following and documenting and chronicling the life of the American president.
Just before the break, I have one question for you. Now, the exhibit features presidents, like you said, from 1962. And Nixon, Ford, Reagan, G.W. Bush, and George Bush, and Clinton. No Carter. And I was real surprised by that. And I don't know what – I'm kind of curious about the gossip or the behind the scenes, if National Geographic had a problem with the Carter family or what was going on.
No, evidently the Carter administration never appointed a presidential photographer.
Really? Oh.
It was not appointed. Now, I do not know if that was intentional or an or not an oversight, but just something that never happened. But the result of it is that we have all the photographs of Carter are wire service photographs. AP photos.
Well, thanks for answering that. I was wondering about it. Because a lot of stuff took place in his
admission. A lot of stuff took place, but...
More than stuff, actually, yeah.
We don't know as much about it, evidently.
I am talking to Catherine Hamilton Smith, Director of Cultural Resources for the Lake County Forest Preserve District. And when we come back, we'll talk about plans for a new facility and how you can get personally involved with the Discovery Museum. And also, we need to touch on another exhibit, the Deerfield Housing Project, that's also currently going on at the Discovery Museum. Anyway, stay tuned. More for this. And that's Fleetwood Mac, Don't Stop. That goes back to 1992 with the Bill Clinton presidential theme song, and got everybody going out and voting for Bill Clinton back then, I think. Anyway, it was definitely a memorable song. And if you're just joining us, the tie-in, we're talking about the exhibit at the Lake County Discovery Museum, and that's called The President's Photographer, 50 Years in the Oval Office. We spent the first segment talking to Catherine Hamilton Smith, the Director of Cultural Services for the Lake County Forest Preserve District. And, again, that exhibit goes through January 11th, like I just said, and it's just terrific. We were talking about many of the iconic photos. You know, in addition to that exhibit, there's a very small local exhibition that's at the museum. And I thought that was very interesting, too. It's the Deerfield, let me get this right now. It's about the Deerfield Housing Project in 1959. And it's different illustrations. And I have to ask you, how did that all come about? Very, very interesting.
You don't mean the project itself. You mean the exhibition.
Well, I guess I'm talking about the actual exhibition that has the illustrations from the 1959 open housing controversy that occurred in Deerfield, and where Eleanor Roosevelt actually lobbying for it as well. Unlike the photos that we have in the Presidential Museum, you still have a record of this local event that happens to be these pencil graphics, which you're telling.
Yeah, they are. Well, just to briefly explain what the 1959 Deerfield Fair Housing Project was all about, it was a moment in time, 1959, when Lake County, and specifically Deerfield, came into the national spotlight. And it was because a housing developer, came in and wanted to do a development where a certain number of the homes would be sold to African Americans. And without explaining the entire situation,
sure.
it became a very big Village of Deerfield discussion, a very public discussion. Residents were in favor of it, residents were against it, and it got into the national spotlight because it kind of was a test case in a way for fair housing after the Second World War that was going on all around the country. And that's what drew Eleanor Roosevelt here to Lake County and specifically to Deerfield to enter into that dialogue that occurred. And the illustrations that we have are actually in the museum's collections. These illustrations were made by an artist reporter, so-called, mm-hmm. Franklin McMahon. Mm-hmm. Franklin McMahon is a Lake County, he's deceased now. He died in 2012, but a wonderful artist. He calls himself, though, careful to call himself an artist reporter, because he, like the presidential photographers, actually, attended events. He attended all kinds, anything that was happening, he would attend, and it wasn't just in Lake County by any means, even though he was a Lake County resident. He would go all over the country. He attended every major party convention before the general elections, both Republican and Democrat, and he would, instead of taking photographs, he would sit kind of like a fly on the wall with his sketch pad, and he would sketch whatever was before him.
Like a courtroom.
like a court, unlike a court artist, except that his palette, his not his palette, but his subject matter was anywhere there was something going on.
Mm-hmm.
So probably because he was a Lake County resident based out of Lake Forest specifically, in 1959, he attended, like many reporters, including the national press, attended a lot of these town meetings that happened in Deerfield, but instead of, you know, writing wasn't his medium, photography wasn't his medium, illustration was. And so he made a series of illustrations of these discussions, of this important event that sort of threw Lake County in the national spotlight for a certain amount of time. So this is a smaller exhibition, and it has relationships to the Presidential Photography Exhibition in the sense that they're both forms of capturing or chronicling something that's happening.
This one is very timely and topical, and I don't know if that was just coincidence.
Complete coincidence, yeah.
Yeah, how did this come about then, exhibit? It's a small one, but still you apparently had these available, these, like you said, these illustrations.
Well, these illustrations are in the museum's permanent collection, so we could have put them in at any time.
Mm.
We just frankly, we schedule exhibitions out about 2 years. So,
oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
This is well before Ferguson, Missouri.
Oh, heavens,
what happened?
It was,
Staten Island. Okay.
Like any event in Lake County's history, we have this material, in this case, these illustrations in the archives that remain from the event. So it could have been the Civil War. This was on our schedule for the last at least year and a half, I would say. As was the president's photographer, we know about 2 years in advance what we're going to be doing. In any of our sort of swing galleries. We have our permanent exhibitions on the history of the county and on the Kurt-type postcard archives, but we also have these galleries that we move in and out with special exhibitions in order to draw people to the museum continuously, have something new all the time,
mm-hmm.
something with a different subject to draw different people's interest.
So I'm kind of curious, though, about the illustrations. These were just artifacts, or I should say artwork that you just had laying around, so to speak,
yes,
and we're
so
able
to
put, then we're able to, with you know the creative staff that you have, put this together in a wonderful exhibition.
Absolutely, and we do.
Okay.
We sometimes bring exhibitions in from the outside, like the National Geographic Society is traveling
mm-hmm.
the President's Photographer Exhibition, so it's going all around the country for a couple of years. We also develop them in-house, and that makes sense because our main reason for being is to safeguard and care for and provide access to the history of this county and its place in the greater Chicago region and the lower Great Lakes Basin. You know, what does it mean? And the artifacts that we have, the documents that we have remaining from the history of this county. So we always look for opportunities to bring that forward and create exhibitions all the time. But it's a mix. You know, you want to bring interesting things from outside as well as tell the story of Lake County.
So in doing these exhibitions, I don't know how to ask this, but I'm just curious.
Just go ahead.
Okay. Do you worry about being politically correct or perhaps avoiding controversy? It's not like you're going to look for controversy, but...
No, we don't have the kind of museum, certainly, that looks for controversy.
Right.
And some museums do. I would say the type of museum that might not exactly look for controversy, but look for the cutting edge would be a contemporary art museum,
mm-hmm.
where you're showing the work of artists who are working right now. They're working artists right now. And some of that work could be, you know, kind of would be inciting or have an edge to it and have mm-hmm. a kind of a point of view.
So it's a careful thought. I guess I'm trying to get the behind the scenes of the staff when you're deciding 2 years out or whatever it is. I didn't realize it was that much. I thought it was more like 6 months or something. I had no idea it was 2 years. So if how does that process occur? 2 years ago, you guys decided to do whatever.
Well, when you start having a since we're already 2 years out, you're continuing to work on that calendar. It's a rolling calendar. So right now we're about 2 years out in our swing galleries, and so now we're looking for opportunities going further out. We haven't signed contracts, so we don't know fully what we're going to do. And those move around. I mean, we can move things around until, like you're saying, 6 months is a little close for us, but 6 or 9 months, we might still be making changes.
Well, maybe a better question is this. What are the factors that go into choosing an exhibition? We have changing demographics in Lake County. Also, Lake County is huge, and the museum is in Wakanda. So that's reachable for most people, but, you know, like sometimes, like you, I think we had talked off air about how it's not in people's orbit necessarily. So what factors go into that, or steps, or however you want to put it?
Well, one key factor is that we're always interested to hear from the public.
Mm.
And we often get very good ideas from the public, and we make them into exhibitions. So that's something for your listeners to know and understand, is that if they've appreciated something we've done in the past and would like to tell us, oh, I'd like more of that, that's really interesting, or they have a subject that they'd like us to explore, we take all of those suggestions and throw them into our mix. But we try to, and mix is a good term, because we try to mix it up. So you don't want a Civil War exhibition and then follow that by World War II and then follow that by something, you know, too much war and back-to-back sort of thing. So we try to mix up the subjects. We try every couple of special exhibitions to have something that's really focused on kids and the kids and young families. And
so what might be an example of that you've had?
Well, the next
one
that we're...
Or coming in the future, but either way.
Our number one most popular exhibition we ever did, statistically, in terms of number of visitors who came, was called, just a few years ago, called Prehistoric Lake County.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah. And it was really our dinosaur exhibition. And you know, I'm telling you, if you could get the dinosaurs, the Beatles, or maybe Abraham Lincoln, those are the top three. You have like a dinosaur, beetle, Abraham Lincoln exhibition. That would do it.
And by the way,
maybe a sports team, too. Throw a sports team in there. Because our Walter Payton exhibition we did some years ago was also very, very
Oh, that was popular, along with the John Lennon one. So you really have to think about demographics, cost, I would think.
Oh, well, cost certainly comes into it, although the Friends of the Discovery Museum, they are one of our fundraising branches, and they contribute to almost every exhibition we do. So that doesn't come from the museum's budget. And that's important for listeners to know, too. We have an active membership. Membership supports what we do. The money from membership goes directly into our programs. The friends raise money. So we do get money. So cost is definitely key.
Okay.
So. But we want to provide, with our special exhibitions, it's kind of like the spoonful of sugar that helps the medicine go down. I am telling you, it's not everybody's cup of tea to come for local history, to learn about where you live.
Right.
It won't draw them in.
Right.
And as a type, history museums, of all the types of museums you can name, including living collections, so arboretums, zoos, aquariums, art museums, science and technology centers, kids museums, and history museums, those are the main big types. Art museums are far and away the most popular. I don't know if that's surprising or not, but they have they have the biggest attendance, and history museums lag behind the whole group, everyone I mentioned. So
unless you have a pop culture
type
of, well, like John Lennon was history, but then that was very, very popular.
That's right. So you're asking about how we mix it up, and our special exhibitions, that's really important for us. It is a spoonful of sugar. We mix it up. We present different types of exhibitions on different themes, and that gets people into the museum. And then once they're here, they also see, they kind of have this, oh, my gosh, this is a real museum with really good exhibitions. And where am I? Is this just little old Lake County? And you find that, no, it isn't little old Lake County. We have 715,000 people live here. That is a bigger population than Boston, not the metro area, but Boston, Detroit, San Jose, San Francisco. You know, you can go right down the list of major U.S. cities. 715,000 people is a lot of people. We serve that population. And that demographic is changing, as you said. That's one of the reasons why we love to hear from the public. What would you like us to develop? What is of interest to you? So our service area is big and diverse and interesting and interested. And so we throw all of that into the mix and try to listen to the public and try to get people, try to present a broad range of subjects for our special exhibitions in order to get people also to hear that wonderful story about the history of Lake County.
You know, it is tough, though, too, because I have, like, a lot of ideas. And someone else could walk in here and have a lot of ideas. And like the Rolling Stones, maybe that would make a nice exhibit.
Probably would. Okay. Got some dinosaurs in them.
Right. And maybe Neil Diamond. Neil Diamond, maybe not so much. I don't know. I mean, it depends on your cup of tea. So, again, it's just kind of, you know, trying to figure out and get a pulse on what people would come up for, too, as well.
Well, you know, and we live in that. In a world where we're satisfied if we don't have a blockbuster, you know, Beatles exhibition, you do have to tell important stories that maybe won't draw in as many numbers. And so you mix it up. You have some that you know are going to, like a major sports exhibition we know would draw.
But at the same time, the Deerfield Housing Project, I was there to see the presidential photographer exhibit. But then here's this other... Wow, that's really interesting, and I had no idea that was going on in Deerfield in 1959.
See, now you just said, wow, that was interesting.
Yes.
That's exactly what museums
yes.
do.
And I had, I didn't even know that occurred in 1959 in Deerfield, and so topical today, too. So you are right, that does work out. By the way, speaking of, you know, lots of things that are happening in Lake County with museums, you recently got a $750,000 grant.
We did.
So what's going to happen with that money exactly?
Well, that, for one thing, yeah, that's, I'm glad you asked that, Jim, because that's a big feather in the cap of Lake County. This is a state grant. It only comes around every 2 years, the grant opportunity. And we are the only small, so to speak, museum that received that top award. That is the top award that you could get out of this grant cycle. And the other museums are, you know, the Art Institute, the Field Museum, Science and Industry, the big museums down in the city mostly that received that top award.
Very impressive.
So
yeah.
It is, and I don't mean to say it from the museum's point of view, but impressive for Lake County that we feel that we represent the people of Lake County. And so it's a feather in our cap that they have confidence in our museum and our story and want us to help elevate that story. So that money is going to help build a beautiful new storage facility for the museum's historic collections.
So is that going to be in Wakanda, too?
And it will not be in Wakanda.
Okay.
It's going to be on the lower level of the Forest Preserve District's General Offices building in Libertyville on Winchester Road. Now, the buildings in Wakanda are really not at all suited for historic collections. They're very difficult to maintain any kind of environment. The temperature and relative humidity for historic collections needs to be stable year-round. They're barns. They're beautiful buildings to look at. If you come out, people should know if they haven't visited that it is in a 3,000-acre forest preserve that's in every season a really special place. So you have a beautiful museum in this beautiful setting, well worth a visit.
And across from a dog park.
And it's catty corner from the Lakewood Dog Park.
Right,
so
right.
That's a huge draw for a lot of folks
right.
in Lake County. So that's what's going to happen is we're going to build a new a storage facility for the collections. And there will be, that's where the library and reading room for the public access to, especially the archives, will be there also. And all of that will open in the spring of 2016.
Okay.
So not this coming spring. We'll be in construction beginning in the spring and then through the summer.
Specifically, what will be some of the artifacts we'd see that would be in this new facility?
Well, they'll be mostly in storage, it will be everything the museum owns.
Nothing to view then? Or
Well, no, there will also be some small galleries where we will do rotating exhibitions from our collections. So probably a gallery for the archival collections. That could be photographs, could be maps, could be atlases, diaries, Civil War materials. And then we'll also probably have another small gallery related to it where we'll show objects from the collections. Like the firearms of Lake County.
That would be really neat.
It would be, Santa, there you go. That would be a big draw.
I tell you what, we're going to have to take another break. And when we come back, I want to talk about the Adlai Stevenson House.
Oh, great.
The home and
another favorite of mine.
The Bonner Farm and some other exhibits that are currently available to the public. And we are talking to Catherine Hamilton Smith, Director of Cultural Resources We'll be back right after this. Stevie Wonder, I gave this little Stevie Wonder. Signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours. And that was the theme song of the presidential campaign for Barack Obama back in 2008. Which kind of ties in with a lot of things we've been talking about today, namely the exhibit or exhibition that's at the Lake County Discovery Museum, the President's Photographer, 50 Years in the Oval Office, which will be there till January 11th. And then there's some other interesting exhibitions that we've also talked about that are there as well. The Deerfield open housing controversy in 1959. There's some interesting sketches there, too. One thing we haven't touched on is the Adlai Stevenson Home and some of the other sites that you're responsible for. I should mention we're talking to Catherine Hamilton Smith, who is the Director of Cultural Services for the Lake County Forest Preserve. And so the Adlai Stevenson Home, what's going on there?
Well, big things this fall, actually. The Adlai Stevenson Home was this fall designated a National Historic Landmark by the Secretary of the Interior, the U.S. Secretary of the Interior, Sally Jewell. And a National Historic Landmark is different from a property being on the National Register of Historic Places. There are 85,000 sites around the country that are on the National Register.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. And
that could be my house.
That could maybe your house, Jim. Okay. I haven't seen it, but it could be on the National Register. And being on the National Register means that a site is of local significance, local historical significance. A National Historic Landmark means that that place is significant to the history of the nation as a whole. So, for instance, the battlefield at Gettysburg would be a National Historic Landmark. We have two National Historic Landmarks in Lake County, Fort Sheridan and the Adlai E. Stevenson Home on St. Mary's Road, just a little bit east and south of Libertyville. Mm-hmm. And there are only 2,500 National Historic Landmarks in the whole country. So 85,000 and 2,500. It's a very special designation. You can go onto the site every day, year-round, and there are...
Now, are there tours there if I were to just ramble over there after the show and take a peek?
If you ramble over there to the show, after the show, you would just see the exhibition panels that are outside. You can walk around as much as you like, and there are museum exhibition panels outside. There's six of them, so it's significant. It talks about the house. It talks about the significance of Stevenson. So you would learn a lot, and you're welcome to walk around the property all the way down to the Des Plaines River.
What are some things we might learn just in those panels? If I'm not mistaken, it was John F. Kennedy, Henry Cabot Lodge. A lot of people used to meet there on the back patio.
Well, Stevenson was just a central political figure in the mid-century. He was the governor of Illinois in the late 1940s and then ran as the Democratic nominee for the presidency in 52 and 56 against Dwight Eisenhower and lost both times. And then served under the Kennedy administration as the American ambassador to the United Nations. So you'll learn about that. You'll learn about the Stevenson family to a certain extent. His grandfather was the vice president with Grover Cleveland. So the Stevenson that we know, Stevenson II, was not the first sort of high-level national political figure in the family. You'll just learn about all of that. What is the significance of Stevenson? What did he contribute? And there's a panel that talks about the caretaker's family that lived there, and it talks about the architecture of the buildings themselves, which is Art Deco in nature. So you'll learn a lot just by going.
There's a lot of things that we haven't touched on.
And we do have tours, I should
say. Yeah, when are the tours?
We're closed during the winter for tours, except by special request. A group can always, like a historical society or any group can request to have a tour. But from April through October, not only will you be able to get in to the service building and see other exhibitions on Stevenson, but we have regular tours April through October, public tours. So we're closed right now. You're catching me in the off season.
Well, you know, we've talked pretty much about being a visitor, but how can you get involved, like with the museum or other cultural resources in Lake County, that aren't from a visiting standpoint, but you know, personally? if I wanted to get involved, what could I? What could
well, the best way anybody can be involved is a volunteer, and that goes district-wide. I mean, if you're interested in, we have a crew, for instance, that cleans up the garbage out of the Des Plaines River once a year. You could be involved in that crew. How fun is that? You know, just spend a day hauling, I want to say, just stuff out of the river. But with the museum, on the museum end, or cultural resources, you can volunteer to be a docent at Stevenson House or at the Bonner Heritage Farm or at the museum. You could work behind the scenes in collections. You could work our big events like Civil War Days and the Farm Show. We need tons of volunteers district-wide to make it all happen. And they give thousands of hours every year in service to the people of the county just through the Forest Preserve District. And the best way to do that is just go onto our website, and you can click on volunteering, and it'll get your request where it needs to go, and then come in and tell us what you're interested in.
And meanwhile, being a visitor is very much fun if you go out to the Lake County Discovery Museum, and that exhibition of the President's Photographer, 50 Years in the Oval Office, will be there till January 11th. We spent the first segment pretty much talking a lot about that, and just a lot of photos. We just talked. We hit the tip of the iceberg. There's so many interesting photos there to see. So, Catherine Hamilton Smith, thank you so much for being on the air today and being a guest. Really was just thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. I hope everyone comes out over the holidays. You know, grab lunch in Wakanda and hit the museum. You'll learn something and you'll love it.
And good bang for your buck too. If you wish to contact Catherine Hamilton Smith, Director of Cultural Services, visit the Lake County Forest Preserve website, www.lcfpd.org. And thanks for tuning in. I hope you drop by again next Thursday morning at 11 o'clock a.m. when we talk to another captivating guest on Word of Mouth.